I know you know I cry myself to sleep sometimes. I cry for a little girl's dreams. I cry because the dreams will not die, though I am powerless to make them come true. I cry because the one thing I truly want I cannot have. Do you understand? I thought about Lady and Lady's situation and nodded. I signed nothing back. I am going to cry again. Go out, please. Tell Silent to come. I did not have to look for him. He was waiting in the conference room. I watched him go inside, wondering if I was seeing things or seeing things. She'd certainly given me something to think about. Chapter 43. Picnic. Put on any deadline, and time accelerates. The clockwork of the universe runs on an overwound mainspring. 4 days went down the jakes, zip, and I did not waste much time sleeping. Ardath and I translated, and translated, and translated. She read, translating aloud. I wrote till my hands cramped. Occasionally, Silent took over for me. I spot-checked by slipping in documents already done, especially those both Tracker and I had worked. Not once did I catch a misinterpretation. That fourth morning, I did catch something. We were doing one of those lists. This soiree must have been so big that if held today, we'd call it a war, or at least a riot. On and on. So-and-so of such-and-such, with ladies whosis, 16 titles, 4 of which made sense. By the time the heralds finished proclaiming everyone, the party must have died of encroaching senility. Anyway, along about the middle of the list, I heard a little catch in her breath. Aha, I said to myself. A bolt strikes close. My ears pricked up. She went on smoothly. Moments later, I was not sure I had not imagined it. Reason told me the name that startled her would not be the one she was speaking. She was toddling along at my writing pace. Her eyes would be well ahead of my hand. Not one of the names that followed clanged any bell. I would go over the list later, just in case, hoping she had deleted something. No such luck. Come afternoon, she said, "Break, Croker. I'm going for tea. You want some?" Sure, maybe a hunk of bread, too. I scribbled another 30 minutes before realizing what had happened. What? The lady herself offering to fetch. Me putting in an order without thinking. I got a case of the nerves. How much was she role-playing? How much pretending for fun? It must be centuries since she got her own tea, if ever. I rose, started to follow, halted outside my cell door. 15 steps down the tunnel, in the grungy, feeble lamplight, Otto had her cornered against the wall. He was talking some shit. Why I had not foreseen the problem, I do not know. I doubted that she had. Surely it was not one she faced normally. Otto got pushy. I started to go break it up, then vacillated. She might be angered by my interference. A light step from the other direction. Elmo. He paused. Otto was too single-minded to notice us. "Better do something," Elmo said. "We don't need that kind of trouble." She did not appear fright-